Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch, Pivot, or Quit podcast. Today, I'm back with Centric TV's Queen Boss semifinals episode. We are reaching the finale stages. We're quickly approaching the time where we find out who is going to be crowned Queen Boss. That will happen actually next week. So it will be next episode. We'll finally know who the Queen Boss is. This week we are talking the semi-final round. So the judges this week were Vanessa Simmons, who we're familiar with, Lauren Lake, who we're familiar with. They have been the reoccurring judges, and the guest judge, who looks to be the guest judge for this week and next week's final episode. It's Lisa Price, who is the founder of Carol's Daughter. Carol's Daughter is a multi-million dollar business sold in all or many major retailers like Target and more. So if you are unfamiliar with Carol's Daughter, I just don't even know what to tell you. So this week, the semifinalists, as we've watched the 18 women compete from week to week, now we have the semifinalists, is six semifinalists. They include Lucinda, which to refresh everyone's memory, I'll tell you who the semifinalists are and I will say what their business was. So Lucinda had the vision board boxes. Naila had the sweet tea. Dana had the Cocotique beauty box. Kim had the jams, the artisanal jams. Anitra had the kimonos, and Tanika had the body butters. So all of these women beat out their competitors week to week and moved on to the semifinals. So now they're all in the running to compete for Queen Boss. So when the show first started off, ooh, the tension is there. We want to know what's going to happen. What are they going to have to do? What are the judges going to say? They brought all six contestants in and they said, hey, you're here. You've made it. Now it's time for the challenge. So they split the ladies up into teams. Kim, Tanika, and Lucinda were on one team. Dana, Naila, and Anitra were on another team. So the business challenge that they had this week was a pop-up store. They said that the host, Tracy, said that this was, by the way, if you're unfamiliar and this is your first time dropping in, I suggest you go back and listen to the previous podcast detailing what has been happening week to week. And if you didn't know, Tracy Edmonds is the host of the show. So Tracy let them know that this particular business challenge is going to test them on teamwork skills, and they were going to be broken into teams of three, and they had 2 hours to run a pop-up shop on the streets of Harlem to sell one of their items. So out of the two groups of three ladies, they had to decide which item were they going to sell in this pop-up shop. It couldn't be multiple items. It had to be one item from the ladies. Oh, so this proved to be a bit of a challenge for Lucinda's group. Let's call it Lucinda's group because Lucinda stands out. She wears a crown on the show. We recognize her. We can identify her. So Lucinda's group, they had to decide between selling Lucinda's vision board box or Kim's jam, or it could have been Tanika's body butters. And I say her body butters because she has a body line, but her body butters is the thing that you really think of because that's what she pitched in her her episode in her week to pitch the judges. So they had to decide. They couldn't decide. The ladies just all thought that their product was so unique that it should have been the focal product for the pop-up shop to sell on the streets of Harlem. They decided to finally come to an agreement by putting all of their businesses in a hat, all three of them, and then selecting at random which business was going to be the business that they would use for the pop-up shop. So they ended up going with Kim's jams. Then we have Dana, Naila, and Anitra's team. They seem to gel very nicely. They seem to all be on the same page with the understanding that the team that won this pop-up challenge, the team that was able to secure the most pre-orders for their product, that's the team that would win. That's the team that would automatically go on to the final round, all three women. So it seemed like Dana, Naila, and Anitra's team, they really got that concept from the very beginning and they grasped that understanding. Like, look, we all have different products. We all think that our products are superior. We have to believe in our products. But right now for this challenge, we have to work together. We have to figure out what product is going to get us the most sales for this challenge so we could walk away victorious. It seemed like a no-brainer for them. They decided to go with Naila's tea. They went with Naila's tea, and they went with that for multiple reasons, but the number one being the price point was low, and it was unisex. They recognized that, so that was very smart on their part. Now, one thing that I thought was interesting is that all the women pretty much had to pitch their products to themselves when they were amongst their groups to see which product they were going to go with. And that was almost a mini challenge in itself, because you have to really be able to be concise and sell someone on what your product is. And that is where it seemed like in Lucinda's group, she was the most confident and outspoken about her product and why her product should have been the one to be in the pop-up shop situation. But I don't know. For me, I just kept thinking like, no, this is not it. Like, I can understand you selling the ladies, and I can understand you being passionate about your product and about your project. Obviously, that's why you're here. But when you're talking about anyone who's ever... I lived in Harlem, okay? I lived in Harlem for a number of years. And even if you've never lived in Harlem, if you've just been to Harlem, you understand the street hustle culture in Harlem. It's totally a culture. And people are doing it all day long. A lot of these people are seasoned at the street hustle in Harlem. They know how to do this day in and day out. They know what products will sell and what will move. But if you ever pay attention, you'll notice that there are certain things that they routinely sell. And if I was Tanika, I would have said immediately, and see, I don't know if Tanika's from New York. I don't know if she's how well-versed she is with Harlem. I can't remember where she's from, but it does not matter where you go in Harlem. If there's a street vendor, especially on 125th Street, there's always going to be guaranteed a man with a table selling some shea butter. It never fails because it works. It sells. People buy it. People want it. People come from out of town and specifically go uptown to Harlem to get shea butter. So I've had friends that have done it. So I know that. And I was just wondering why she didn't push harder for her products, because she had a body butter that all of the ladies seem to really, really love. And to me, it seemed like that's a no-brainer when you're talking about what you're going to sell on the street and try to get somebody to buy into. And I think that's the thing that their group, Lucinda, Kim, and Tanika, didn't think about. They didn't think about the fact, or at least they didn't discuss it on camera, the fact that Harlem is the world of hustlers. You can't just try to sell anybody anything in Harlem. It has to be something of substance. It has to be something that you can make them think that they need immediately. You have to be able to talk quick about it. You have to be able to move quick. It's a fast-paced world. Nobody has time, unfortunately, for Lucinda to sit there and explain the benefits of a vision board box. Plus, when you're thinking broad and big picture, not everybody has a vision. Not everybody cares about a vision. Some people are just working day to day and they're absolutely okay with that. They don't really have big dreams and aspirations. And for you to try and turn them around and sell them on that in less than 2 minutes in a street walking conversation, I don't really see the likelihood of that being very high. So anyway, the ladies decided on their products. Kim, Tanika, and Lucinda's team, they decided on Kim's jams. Dana, Naila, and Anitra's team, they decided on Naila's tea. So the ladies hit the streets. They set up these little tables and they set up the products and they start hustling. The one thing I will give to Lucinda, immediately, you could see her hustler spirit. She's like, we got to get out there. We got to hustle. We got to close these sales. So she started hustling and using her gift for persuasion and her mouthpiece immediately. She started talking people into it, getting people to come to the table and try out the products. So the ladies are selling, and we see them, we see their interaction. And one thing that I do definitely commend Tanika for is she said, my weakness is definitely sales. I am not a sales girl. I don't do very well in this area. And I think being put in that situation pushed her out of her comfort zone. This show has done nothing but push her out of her comfort zone, but it really pushed her out of her comfort zone. And it showed her that when her back was against the wall, she could actually do it because she was talking to people and trying to make the sale and trying to get them to come over to the table. So the ladies did 2 hours of hustling. And in the end, everything was tallied up. Tracy brought all the ladies back in front of the judges, and the judges were allowed to give some of their feedback about what they observed from the process. Lauren just couldn't believe that the ladies in the one group just couldn't come together and decide on a product. She thought that it was ridiculous that they had to put their products in a vase to then pick it out and decide which one was going to be the best one. She just could not understand what the hang up was there. Lisa said to that same group, Lisa said, as bosses, you're going to have to make decisions that your ego isn't going to like. And I was just like, bam. That's it. Like, I'm glad that she said that to them in that way, because I think that they really did need that reality check, because none of them were willing to budge. And because of that, I don't think that they were able to see the larger picture and what kind of effort they could really put behind one person's product to come out victorious and take them to the next level, which was the final round. You could tell that the conversation that the other group was having, Dana, Naila, and Anitra, as soon as they figured out that they were selling Naila's tea, it was like, boom, go. Everybody started thinking of ways to market and sell and move units with her tea. And that's basically what they needed to do. That was teamwork. That was coming together to brainstorm for the greater good. Let's talk numbers. In the end, pre-orders wise for the jam, so for the team with the jam, which was the team that couldn't figure it out and couldn't get it together in the first place, Kim, Tanika, and Lucinda, they earned $948 in pre-orders. Now, Dana, Naila, and Anitra's team with the T, they earned $1,836 in pre-orders. So we know who won, right? They pretty much doubled the jam team. Let's call them the jam team. They pretty much doubled the jam team. So they won. They were able to be dismissed and wait for their opportunity for the final round. And then Tracy threw in a little monkey wrench for the other three ladies who thought that they would be immediately going home. Kim, Tanika, and Lucinda were surprised when Tracy said, we really believe in all of you guys, and we are going to give you one last opportunity and shot at this and making it to the finals. But only one of you will make it. So they pretty much had to do what they've done, all had to do in episodes past, and they had to fight for themselves. They had to convince the judges why they deserve to be queen boss. Each lady said her spiel, but Tanika ended up walking away victorious. She walked away with the judges saying, we want to give her another chance. And I think it was because although the judges see where she could use improvement in her confidence about herself, about her business, about selling and all of that, they could see that her business had potential and she had potential as a businesswoman. Now, when the judges were discussing who they were going to keep, Lauren did ask a question of the judges, that I think we've all asked up until this point. What is the exact criteria? What exactly are they looking for? And none of them really had an answer, but she just wanted to get down to, who are we giving this money to and what for? Because everyone's at different stages in their business. And you can see where some people were at the stage where you'd be giving the money to them and they'd be, you know, hitting the ground running because they haven't really established much in their business yet. Other people, they'd be using the money for growth. Other people, there's potential, but you don't really know where the business could go. There was still a little bit of uncertainty about the potential for the business. So Lauren, she did ask a very valid question and no one was able to answer it. And I sort of think that that's a part of the show, is that they probably weren't given specific parameters as to maybe like a checklist of what you're looking for to say that this woman deserves to be queen boss. It seems to me that at this point, it's all about a feeling. It's all about how things are shaping up and what the judges sort of decide amongst them. Now, Lisa was concerned that Tanika didn't push her product for the pop-up. It's same thing that I was thinking, because Lisa pointed out something very key, is that, you know, for Tanika, her product should have been the easy shoe-in for the pop-up shop because it was an experienced product. Now, Tanika said this, but she wasn't pushing. And Lisa said, you know, it's a matter of, all you have to do is walk up to someone and say, can I massage your hand with this new, you know, body butter? And you reel them in immediately if your product is that good. And from what the judges said, Tanika's product was that good. So that was Lisa's point about Tanika and her tendency to sort of shy away and kind of fall in the background sometimes, and her need to sort of push herself a bit more as the businesswoman. So Vanessa then went on to say that she was obsessed with Tanika's product, but she knows that Tanika just needs to find her voice. They all enjoyed the quality of Kim's product. And, you know, Lauren was saying that she thought that Kim was at a crossroads for her product, where she had the potential to go bigger and to really expand and scale, but they weren't really sure that she really, really wanted to own that and do it. They know that she has the passion for the business, but they weren't sure that she really had the want to really take it as far as it could possibly go and like even make it a Carol's Daughter type household name, you know, type of brand. They didn't know that that's really where she wanted to go. And Lisa, she made a good point when she said that she felt like Kim hadn't seen how she can scale the business with small batch quality. I think Lisa was trying to say that Kim would need to see that and experience that to know that it's possible. So in the end, Tanika made it to the final round. She's now going to join the other three ladies in the competition for next week, where they're going to apparently have to all individually meet with venture capitalist investors. And they all look like women investors, and it looks like the meetings took place outside of the normal setting. It looks like they were out and about in the streets of New York, where they had to meet these women and pitch their business. So this should be good. And I'm sure via this experience, whoever walks away victorious, the other ladies will still walk away having won, because the value of this experience will probably give them more than they could have ever imagined. So that was episode 7 of Queen Boss on Centric TV. I'm very much so looking forward to next Saturday's final episode. And I just want to see who's going to be Queen Boss. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far. And check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. As always, thanks for hanging with me and keep killing it.